Hello, and welcome to ABW Radio. How the devil are we all? Yeah, I know, I know. Yeah, I know, I know. Stop it. Stop moaning. I know it's another away defeat, but guess what? It's one more game to go. One more. Yeah, here we are. Okay, tonight, guys, I'm joined by Ellis Mel, and he's here on time as well. So, Ellis, how are you?
Brilliant! Yeah, I'm all right, and I made it on time. I think the only reason I'm on time, though, is because I have just been on a Skype call with Danny, Carl, and Josh, and we will watch the game together via illegal means. But no, it was quite interesting. It was we had the commentary off, so we weren't influenced by whatever the commentator's bias or not bias was, and we're just influenced by our own bias. So yeah, it was quite good fun, actually, regardless of the result.
I got a message from Carl. He just says, "Fuck Ellis."
Of course he does.
Nice. Also joined by John Welsh. Hello, John.
You all right, Jace? How you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm proud, disappointed, annoyed, want to kill an official, a football official. But there you go.
Want to go, pal. Want to go.
Yeah, I know. Thank God. Thank God. Okay, let's do some shout-outs, is it? First in the box tonight was Rondry. Hello, Rondry. You okay, fella? Then we had Stan the Man 450, Mert Yigit. Then we had Daz 316, My 25, Archie, and 235100. David Keith's there. Yes, David Keith. Tom Douglas. Have I mentioned Archie? Hello, Archie. Daniel Cronin, Hassan Love, Matthew Stern, Ali Salman, we're going to try to get everyone now, K-Man 1867, formerly Noza, is there, Mshefik 1, Matt L. Roberts is there, oh, where the hell, J-Rob's there, Frinton Dino's there, Unique 79 is there, Kelly Joel Guna, MJL is there. Stephen Edwards, the magnificent Stephen Edwards. Reese 1237. Hello, Reese. Kelly Maher. We love Kelly Maher. The Long Blake Road. Ah, tell you what, guys. That's an St. Columbo's there. Kashif Ahmed's there. Fly KJ is there. Did I say St. Columbo? Gunnar Boy is there. Or Gunnar Boy, sorry. Kashif Ahmed, yeah, I said him. Tyrone Holder, Tyrone's there. Rudy Rastlos is there. Ah, I tell you what, guys. Hello. Oh, Robert Owen's there. Hello, Robert. You okay? The Rosa's there. Say hello. Say hello. Come on. There's 100 of you watching now. Give us a thumbs up. Say hello. Carlita Alguna. Ah, yeah, I am hyper. I've had a guts roll. Junior Gunner, the gaming gunner's there as well. Hello, everyone. I hope you're all okay. What a night. What a night. There we go. Memo IR's there as well. Thanks for the thumbs up, Memo. Dave Smith is there. I tell you what. Lossless. I love this chat box. I absolutely love this chat box. Michael Donahue's there. Loki 73. Yeah. Remy McKenzie's there. I'm going to try to give everybody a shout out. If I miss you, I apologize, okay? Yeah, guys, we got two shows left. Alan Cracker's there. Oh, Cracker, sorry. Stephen Overy's there. And Danny the GFP. Come on. Pablo Amar, Mika for life. Yeah, if you're listening on iTunes, I'm sorry, but I'm giving everybody a shout out if I can, okay? Marquis Hodges, MSH1411. Yeah. Michael Donahue, if that's your first shout out ever, let us know more often. Shout at us. Yeah, and Matt L. Roberts, I've mentioned him. Yeah. Okay. Let's get on with it, yeah? Leicester away. John, you first. Lineups. Surprise, surprise. No Ozil.
He's got a bad back, Jace. Look, I am the first one to criticise him for all the time he disappears and misses games and all that kind of thing. Maybe he has got back injury. I don't know. Some people are saying you can see it in the way he plays at the moment. If he's got one, he's got one. Do we really need to play him? Not necessarily. He probably could play, but it's the, you know, let him be fresh for his World Cup tournament stuff. You know what Arsene's like? He likes to be nice to certain players and treat them that way. You know, there was no Lacazette in the squad. There was no Wilshere either. You know, so there was a few others missing. I didn't have too much of a problem with the lineup. Maybe would have liked to see Reece Nelson get a start over one of the others or something, just because, you know, these games are, they're nothings, basically. They're not nothing to the away fans and to us watching, but essentially they don't impact our season in any way. Give some of the youngsters a go. Maitland-Niles got a go tonight at right back. Thought he did okay. Eddie came on. Unfortunately, it was so late by the time he came on, he couldn't really do a lot. So, yeah, thought the lineup was okay. Bit surprised Lacazette wasn't in the squad. I don't know why he wasn't, but there you go. And also, I wasn't quite sure why Mertesacker was on the bench. I didn't really get that. You know, he's basically I've got nothing against Per, you know, but it doesn't really make sense when it's a guy who clearly doesn't want to play football anymore. I think his body's just given up. He said that as much himself.
I think he's just there for cover, isn't he? He's there for cover.
You've got Mustafi on the bench there as well. You know, there's others. Kolasinac, you can switch to a free if you really got to. And I don't know. It just felt like a wasted spot. You could have had someone else, maybe another youth player or something. But yeah. Little things, very little things to complain about. As for the rest of the team, you know, it was nice to see Bob holding back. That was one good thing, you know, because he's kind of been a bit forgotten towards the end of the season. Callum Chambers has stepped in and done really, really well. So it was nice to see him get a start.
Yeah. It is good to see him. I thought, you know, he's tested out a new back two to new centre-half partnership tonight to see how they'd perform.
Yeah.
And well, let's get into it anyway. Ellis, we started really quickly. We had some wonderful, Iwobi had a shot after some really wonderful 1-2 interplay outside the box. They broken us. Vardy had a shot saved. And after a really good start, next thing, we don't clear our lines after a couple of corners. And we get scored on. What the hell happened there?
Hello? Oh, you broke up a bit though. I can hear what you said. I heard most of it though. We started well, and unfortunately, that is the way that things go for us. Mavropanos, bless him, he is quite young and inexperienced. He will make mistakes. Right,
This is the Mavropanos thing. This isn't the Mavropanos thing. This is the Iheanacho goal. I'm telling you, this fucker is doing my head in already.
Ellis, what's going on?
Your connection.
The Iheanacho goal. We're talking about the Iheanacho goal. Ellis?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, sorry.
The Iheanacho goal. Talk me through the Iheanacho goal, please, pal.
That's working now, thank you. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Oh, I hate computers. It goes down. Mavropanos, he tugs on the shirt. For me, it's a blatant red. Obviously, we might discuss this between us and in the chat box as well. But for me, it has to be a blatant red, and that's what's going to happen.
Okay. John, can you talk me through the Iheanacho goal, please?
Yeah. it was just up until that point, like you said, we were playing very. I thought we were playing pretty well. We were moving the ball nicely. There was just before that goal, I think there was some really good interplay. We found a little space, and Iwobi got himself a tiny little gap in the box and had got a shot off. It wasn't that much power, but it was a really good little movement from him and Mickey and Rambo and everyone else. Then, you know, Leicester get a break, get a corner. We don't deal with the corner at all, don't clear our lines properly whatsoever. I think at one point it falls to Rob Holding in the box, who instead of booting it out and just rose heading it, which is something we've seen him do and Callum Chambers and really praised him for it. He's clearly learnt the Arsenal technique of, now I'm going to pass in my own box straight away. Passed it to Mavropanos, who I think went, oh, what's this? Just like tried to get a foot on it, doesn't clear it again, ends up out on the left wing. I can't remember who it is who puts the ball in, but there's no cover at all at the back post. What's his name? Diabate is there. Gets a really good head on it, very good direction. And Iheanacho just completely unmarked, steps onto it. And he doesn't get the cleanest contact, but I think if anyone had seen him from his time at Man City before he went to Leicester,
He's very, very good in the box, at finding the little bit of space and, you know, and getting on the end of things. But yeah, just that whole goal comes from, it's like maybe three, possibly four chances we've got to clear the ball properly. And it just doesn't happen. Not one player does it properly. All the clearances are either miss hit or they're passed in the box or they're not out into touch or just like clear it for a corner, you know, whatever you can do. None of that happens. We don't pick up the man at the back post properly. And no one picks up Iheanacho drifting in. And Cech's got no chance, to be honest. It also comes through a couple of players, you know, so he's really not going to see it till late. Really disappointing because although the goal was very early, I thought for the first 10 minutes of the game, that's some of the better football we've played away from home this season in terms of build-up play and, you know, you actually using the width and stuff and trying to stretch teams. So, yeah, it was a real kick in the bollocks, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a start, and all of a sudden, you know, to defend so badly when on the weekend, you know, we'd seen us defend against Burnley at corner, at set piece in a corners really, really well, really consistently. You know, we cleared when we had to, and all of a sudden, old habits come back. It was really, really disappointing, wasn't it? And I mean, the interplay, I thought the award be shot. He was a bit unlucky there. Yeah. If he'd have got that on target, you know, we're 1-0 up away from home and we're on our way. Ellis, can you hear me, pal?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what was going on with the internet. It is connected up to the wall, to the... I didn't hear any of the question and I just, yeah. But yeah, I am back. Can you hear me? Am I okay?
Don't worry. There we go. Oh, by the way, Queen Mina. If the British accent is so annoying, we really couldn't give a monkey's. You enjoy.
Hang on a minute. British accent. There's me, Ellis, and Jace on here. You couldn't get three more distinctly different.
I know. Wales, Norwich, and Essex. What the hell's going on? I love this thing.
Little taste we've got here. Thank you very much.
I know. We cover the base of the country, don't we? It's all going on.
Very, let's say very continental. It's very mainland anyway.
right, El, let's go back to you now. Now, as you were explaining before, the Mavropanos red card. talk about it.
Yeah, sorry about that. So yeah, I started to speak about it a bit earlier, but now I'll talk about it. For me, it's a red card. I think we were sort of discussing it with the guys when we were watching the game about it being a goal scoring opportunity. There was someone sort of on the right, but I don't think he would have got there in time to cover it. I tried to argue the case, but I think he's got the red because he's fallen down. He's been put under a lot of pressure. He's fallen over and he's just pulled him down on the shirt to stop him going through. And he is, like I said, he's a young, inexperienced player and he's going to make mistakes. I don't think we can lambast him too much. I think before this game, a lot of people have been singing his praises. And I think us as Arsenal fans, whether it is just us as Arsenal fans or
football
fans
in general. Stop a second. Kamran Khan. United, really? I hope you're enjoying your evening. And I hope you can find another channel to watch. Go fuck yourself. Take care. Goodbye. Ta-da.
Don't do that to me. I thought my internet had gone again.
sorry, pal, carry on. I had to ban somebody first one of the night.
Fair enough.
I love this.
Go on, Blocky.
Crack on, son.
So, yeah, where was I? Before this game, a lot of people have been singing his praises, and I think us as sort of Arsenal fans and football fans in general, we can sort of heap a lot of praise on some of the youngsters when they come through, like we were saying, on the pod earlier this week, and we've been saying on radio shows that Mavropanos and Chambers have probably looked the more solid of our centre-back pairings this season. But obviously they've changed again with him and Holding. But I just think poor lad was put under a lot of pressure and he messed up and he probably just let it go to his head a bit, tried to pull the player gun. If he watches that back now, he's going to know he's made a mistake. And these things happen. He's a young player, he's going to make mistakes. And for me, you can't really argue about the red card. It is a red card. And I don't think himself either would argue that it's not a red card.
I see the red card and I find it hard to argue that. I thought it was harsh. I did think it was harsh, okay? But, you know, holding Izzy out of sight of the official. John, I'm going to come to you on this. Because we got we've spoken about the officials on sort of WhatsApp group, etc. But I thought it was harsh. I think, you know, he could have given him a yellow there, you know, but you know, whether it's early on in the game or late on, it doesn't really matter. He has pulled him. I think Iniesta's gone down very easily, but you would in that situation. Do you think, obviously, now, you know, this is Mavropanos' first start with holding.
Yeah.
He's formed a really nice partnership with Chambers. Has that had an effect there? You know, and also, you know, Iniesta's not pacey, but Vardy in that side is very pacey. And do you think maybe that was in the back of his mind when he did that?
Possibly. The foul itself, I don't actually have a problem with him doing. I think, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of not the same level of understanding that he's got with Chambers, although that's still very early doors as well. You know, bringing him down and fouling him in the way he did, and it was a foul, and it's a professional foul. I don't think there's any doubt on that. Tugs at his shorts, and whether he goes down easy or not is regardless. That's the sort of thing we've wanted our players to do for a long time. So don't have a problem with that. It's the build up to it where he's got the ball at his feet and he dawdles on it, and then Iheanacho closes him down and forces him to make that error. That's the big issue. I agree. Iheanacho isn't as pacey as say someone like Vardy, but he's a lot quicker than our centre backs, or he's quicker than Holding, at least I should say. I don't actually know how quick Mavropanos is, to be honest. I've got no idea. But if Mavropanos doesn't bring him down there, he is through on goal. You know, I don't see Holding getting back in time. You know, he's going to be behind him at least. And in that case, if I'm Holding, you probably have to bring him down again, and maybe you end up with two players sent off if the ref lets play go on. I don't know. so, yeah, I don't have an issue with the red card. I know some people say it's harsh. I think it's probably the right decision. If it was against us, I'd be calling for a red, to be honest. But I'm not going to dig the kid out for it. He's 20 years old. I genuinely have no idea. I have no problem at all with the foul he makes. It's the bit before that. It's the dawdling on the ball and not passing it or clearing it as Iheanacho is closing him down. If he doesn't do that bit, I don't care. But the actual foul itself, do that all day long, that's fine.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. And the thing is, you know, Mavropanos has got some gas, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, he's showed in the last few games. He's quick enough to get back. He can, I think he's got, you know, if he stays on his feet there, he's got enough to handle Iheanacho, no problem whatsoever. But, you know, he's gone down, he's dragged him. It's a learning curve for him. And as you say, you know, the season is over. You know, it's an experience for him to learn from. From there, Ellis, they get a free kick from that incident, and Cech makes a hell of a save from Maguire. It kind of went on to be one of those nights for Cech. He, you know, our man of the match by far. He ended up making some great saves tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Like, he made that save sort of after from the resulting free kick from that, and he also made one sort of. It didn't feel like that long after that. Again, he made a few of them. He is someone that I think, me included, we've been quite critical of, especially at his near post. But today, he had to make a lot of saves for us. It could have been a lot worse than what it was. It was quite a, especially after sending off, it was an end-to-end game. And although we have finished it on a 3-1 on the wrong side of that, he did make a lot of saves from there. It could have potentially been a lot worse for us. And I think that does give me hope. For me, a lot of the criticism of Cech is purely from the fact that the back four or the team defending as a whole in front of him isn't great. So that does then put a lot of pressure under him as well. The people in front of him, we've mentioned obviously the centre-back partnerships throughout this season. It's changed all over the time, like Mavropanos and Holding, Mavropanos and Chambers. Mertesacker has played a few games this season. You've obviously had Koscielny and Mustafi. Koscielny getting injured and missing time as well, so he's got a lot of change, chopping and change in front of it, and it's not going to help no matter how well at communicating he is or how much of a leader he may or may not be. It's always going to be difficult for him. And for me, the near post finishes that he gets scored against a lot, that is part of his game. He is obviously getting older a bit. He isn't going to be as flexible, and his reactions aren't going to be as quick as what they were when he was in his prime. But today, I thought he had a good game. And who knows what will happen this summer, whether we get a new guy in between the sticks. But for me, out with him and Ospina, he's probably the best keeper we've got. He does have his downsides, as does Ospina, but yeah, for me, he played quite well today and he made some important saves, especially from, like you said, from the resulting free kick from the red card.
Yeah, it could have been really bad at that point. John, 2-0 down. Welbeck goes off. Mustafi comes on. Check makes some more saves. Then we see a challenge from Rob Holding on Danny Simpson. Both of them going for the ball. To be fair, both of them went in fully committed. Holding one out, no problem. I kind of like that tonight. We were fully committed, even though after the red card, we were a bit bunny in the headlights. You know, there were nerves everywhere. You could see it. Our passing went to hell and we panicked. But everybody on that pitch was fully committed, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing you've seen with some of the younger guys in the team. Obviously, they've got, you know, that kind of happens when you're that age and you're raw and you want to prove yourself and show it a little bit. You're not as phased going into challenges. You maybe haven't had injuries that older players have had, that kind of thing, so you're not as cautious. We saw it with Holding. We saw Kolasinac a couple of times as well. You know, Xhaka's done it a bit more this season. So it's promising and exciting to see. Yeah, I think there were some clear fouls from Leicester players that weren't called up, which was irritating, to say the least. I don't think the referee had the best game. But we weren't backing out of any challenges. You know, we weren't there to be bullied like we have been in other games. Unfortunately, it didn't help our defending on some of the goals, but at least when the 50-50 balls were there, we weren't backing out of them or, you know, just sticking a leg out and getting ourselves injured. Because that is the easiest way to pick up an injury when it is a 50-50 ball. And if you don't go in fully committed, you are going to get a, you know, a sprain or a break or anything like that. So really good to see. But yeah, the typical response of us going a goal down and then being, you know, nervy and twitchy with the ball and misplacing passes and stuff has become all too familiar. Hopefully we won't have to say that next season. Please.
I tell you what, okay, I get a feeling some people are in for some disappointment next season. I really do. You know, I don't think there's a promised land out there, guys. I think there's still going to be issues. Okay, so, you know, then we see Leicester pile of pressure on us. We struggle at times. We ride our luck. And then we get a bit of a break. Mkhitaryan gets a shot. He's ever so close to getting an equaliser, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He is, yeah. I think when the original goal went in, we, like you said, we had a bit of pressure. Cech made a few saves. And then the tide started to turn towards us. And if you hadn't seen the sending off, you could probably be forgiven for thinking it was equal out there because we had a lot of the ball. We created a lot of chances. Obviously, Mkhitaryan came very close there. And we looked good. It was quite end-to-end, so we didn't look any more assured at the back, even with the change, but we were still creating chances, and I thought we were definitely going to get a goal from it. Mkhitaryan comes very close there, like you said, and there are other chances for other players there. But unfortunately, it's just not the way it came. He was inches, probably, from scoring then, but there was, to be fair to Leicester, there was a lot of players back there, and you're obviously going to be under a little bit of pressure, and I don't think you can argue to say he should have done better. It was a good chance. Hopefully he didn't get it again. That's just football, isn't it? That's what happens. But yeah, but then we go on, and like we'll probably talk about now when we do eventually get a goal.
Oh, don't give the game away. Spoilers. Hell, come on. Wait, build it up, mate. Build it up. We got listeners to take care of. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. The chat box is going bananas now. Chat box, you know what to do. You know what to tell Ellis. I want to see it. Get the hashtags out. John, more saves from Cech. You know, Anaccio, Silva from the free kick. And then as we're going forward, the ball comes out of their area. Mustafi plays the ball. as this is towards the end of the first half now, Maguire comes in from nowhere. Mustafi's not even on the ball at the moment. He's off his feet. He takes him out.
Yeah.
In front of the referee. Now, I got no problem with the red card, okay? I got no problem with the red card. But in front of the referee, he takes Mustafi out. He's off his feet and not even a foul is given. You know, never mind all the other fouls that have gone on before this that were ignored. You know, is this incompetence? What's going on here now? Because he's fucking seen it. The touch judge has seen it. And nobody says a thing. It's a yellow card at the very least.
I don't disagree with you. I thought the referee was abysmal tonight. I thought, you know, I think he got the red card correct. You know, some people don't agree with that. But for other than that, he was really, really poor. He didn't give out yellows when he should have. And it's annoying. You can't do... The problem is that complaining about it doesn't do anything. You know, you're getting called out for saying touch, Judge. He's played too much rugby. He can't help it.
Boys, I'm Welsh. Come on. By the way,
it's in the blood over there.
Who's this guy, Big Man Sam? Who's spamming my chat box? dear Big Man Sam, go fuck yourself. Carry on.
It was really disappointing. I'm just looking up who the referee was now. Graham Scott, is it? I don't know. Graham Scott, yeah.
Yes, Graham Scott.
I mean, I don't remember him refereeing that many matches, so I think he's fairly new to the Premier League. Look, it's disappointing.
He's refereed us before, and he's been shit for us before.
Well, there you go. I don't think it's a he's biased against us or anything like that. I just think he's a poor referee, and so that's unfortunately. It's not that we should have to accept it. The simple fact is that there is nothing that you can do about it.
John, question for you, mate. Okay, because I'm done with all this now. Okay, that guy does not make that decision if he's refereeing a Mourinho team. He does not make that decision if he's refereeing Chelsea. He does not make that decision if he's refereeing Pep. He doesn't. Okay,
I think he does. Doesn't.
Don't be a tit now, okay?
No, I think the standard refereeing in the Premier League, English referees, hence the reason none of them are going for the World Cup, is poor, and they make mistakes all across the Premier League. I think as Arsenal fans, and all, like again, we're all guilty of thinking our team's hard done by everyone does it, but I don't think it's a case of he's doing it on purpose or he's influenced by whoever the manager of the team is. I think it's a case of he is just incompetent, and the standard of refereeing in our country is incompetent for me.
And yeah, 2-3-5, as you said, Barry Scott would have been better.
He always comes up with a good one, doesn't he? Yeah, but this is the thing. I had no problem with the red card. Mm. None whatsoever. Okay. You know, the red card, can he, you know, it's not inconceivable he can't see holding. And it's not inconceivable that he thinks, well, I don't think holding's going to catch him.
Yeah.
You know, the thought process there. Fair enough. I think it's harsh, but by the letter of the law, it's fine. You know, I didn't mourn when Atletico had a man sent off early doors. Yeah. They're two yellows. They're straight yellows. But when you see the Maguire challenge on Mustafi, it's a very least a yellow.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. And I think it is just the problem of the refereeing in this country is... below standard.
But why is it good for one team on the night and not for the other?
Don't necessarily think it is. I think if you took the only way you could realistically test this is you would have to get a fan from, I don't know, Germany or Italy or Spain, someone who doesn't watch the Premier League, who isn't a fan of it, so has no affiliation to any club in the Premier League, and get them to watch games and let them sit there with no commentary or anything else and let them say, you know, it's this way or it's that way, because we've all got a bias towards Arsenal. If you were to speak to a West Ham fan, a Man United fan, Chelsea, Man City, any other club, all of those fans are going to have their same biases towards their team. They're also going to say, you should see some of the decisions we didn't get against us. You sit and watch a game with them, you're going to look at a decision and go, well, how is that not fair? And they're going to go, well, hang on a minute. No, that's fair. That's a good challenge. It doesn't change the fact that the referee is, as our own Goolaholic said, has been abysmal, in particular this season. But it's just we are so blinkered and focused only on our own decisions. And the only other things we're going to look at involving other teams is things we don't like and results that are going to go against us in some way that would improve our league position, things like that. So we watch Tottenham and we go, oh, it's disgraceful. They're diving every week and whatever. I don't disagree that a lot of their players dive. But there's decisions in Tottenham games that we'll be screaming out for and going, oh, that's a red card. He should be booked for that descent, blah, 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 and everything. And they're not. It's just because we hate Tottenham. It's exactly. it's true, though, Jace. You know it yourself. You know,
yeah, no, I do, yeah.
And the big issue is until the Premier League themselves sort this out, it's less likely to happen. The one thing I would say is that because Arsene doesn't speak out in the same way that, say, a Mourinho does, or maybe Conte, someone like that, Pep did to a certain degree as well, although he's kind of come back on it a little bit this season. Arsene does it in a much more intellectual way, sometimes in a way that certain journalists don't quite understand what he's saying because he's too smart for them. So it goes over their head and they get offended by it and then don't defend him, or you know, and end up defending the referees. Whereas Conte will just come out and go, that referee's shit. You know what I mean? And that's the sort of thing that if you got more and more managers commenting in a particularly negative way, which I don't particularly like digging out the referees anyway, because I think it is harsh sometimes. But until that kind of thing happens, you're not going to change it. And it does affect everyone in the league. I'm sure if someone totaled it up and someone was totally impartial and went through every single team, there might be some teams that get it more than others.
But the only problem I have is there's a Simpson challenge in the second half and there's the Maguire challenge, which are right in front of him. He can see them.
Oh, yeah.
He can see them, okay? This is not, you know... Okay, Buster Cherry, shut the fuck up. It's not just blaming the referees. We're talking about incidents in the game. If you don't like it, go to hell, okay? Arsehole. I tell you what, in fact, take care, Buster. Ta-ra, Buster. Goodbye. Actually, you can go in time out for a bit. Stop boring me. Let me just finish this.
Yeah,
if it's in front of them, and it's a clear decision, okay? It's in front of you. This isn't something where you think, oh, I can see why he's given that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem I have here. Yeah. It's a case of, you know, if you're going to officiate a match, officiate it.
The other issue is as well, when we're watching a game, especially if you're watching from home, you get all the replays, you get all the slow-mos, you get every single angle. The referee sees it once and in full speed. He's also running around the pitch the whole time. You know,
his vision obscured as well by the players.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, no one accounts for that. And also, the fact he's a human. Humans make mistakes all the time. You know, you know, it happens. Look, we complain about footballers making bad decisions. Who've done it? You know, they've been basically playing football their entire lives, done nothing else since like the age of, I don't know, six. It's all they've done. So you would think by the time they're like in their 20s, getting paid tons of money, constantly coach, you know, they basically have 4 weeks off a year, you know, in the summer, and that's it. And that's it only if there's no tournament, that they would know what to do when they got the ball. And they cock it up all the time. You don't think a referee is going to make mistakes as well? I mean, the difference is you've got referees in this league that genuinely want to referee the game correctly and make bad mistakes. That happens. You've also, unfortunately, got referees in this league that are just bad at refereeing. And until they get a better standard, it's not going to change.
Fair enough. Ellis.
Yeah, again, this might be me being biased again, but do you think like the media plays an influence in it? Because again, it could, like I said, being biased, but it does seem or come across to me as an Arsenal fan that sometimes the media have, since Arsene Wenger has been in charge of Arsenal, painted Arsenal in this picture of their pansies, or they flop around a bit, or they can't take it. And like you've had managers that are like, yeah, we always just kick him because Arsenal can't take it. Do you think that has an influence in a referee's mind? Because like we're saying, they've got to make a split decision there and then. They haven't got all the angles like they're on TV. Maybe in the back of their mind, they think, oh, it's just Arsenal players are being pansies again, or they're diving around or stuff like that. Do you think that plays an influence, or again, am I being biased?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the three broken legs of Diaby, Ramsey and Eduardo, actually Diaby, Eduardo and Ramsey proved that point. It wasn't happening to other teams.
But yeah, Pep makes that point, and There we go.
Pep makes that point, and all of a sudden, you know, times have changed. But there you go. That's enough about officials. Let's move on with the game. So some shout-outs. Cayman 1867, Marble Halls TV, Joshua Page, Lostless, Rudy Rastlos, JJP Young, Carlito Alguna, Pablo Amar, Yvonne Okafor. Yeah, sorry, pal, if I've murdered that. Stephen Edwards again, Frank Gunners there. Honestly, like, some of the like young ghouls there, but Andre Radulescu says, Jace, relax. Imagine Ramsey's extending his contract. That's brilliant. Yeah, I'm annoyed tonight, guys. I am annoyed. I thought we worked hard tonight, and I'm a bit disappointed in that, in the result. If I've missed you, I'm ever so sorry, guys. I'm trying my best. 95 Winston's there. Jeez. SQ Man's there. Junior Gunner's there. Dave Faber, the main man, Dave Faber's there.
Ian Gould, it's my birthday soon, November the 12th. Yeah, you get a shout out.
Ian Gould, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ian Gould. I tell you what, Archie, don't swear, Archie. Stop swearing in that chat box. Tell you what. Yeah, let's get on with it then. By the way, guys, we're only on 56 thumbs up. Come on. Get to it. Get those thumbs working. Let's go. Come on. Let's rock. You know, if you're not hitting 100 by this, there's 200 odd plus of you watching. Come on. Give us a thumbs down if you want. It's fine. It doesn't matter. But let's see it work. Second half kicks off. I'm coming to you, Ellis. And Kolasinac hits the post. Oof.
Yeah, like not long into the kickoff the second half, it was a great passing move, and at first I thought I was going in, and it's something that he has in his locker. We were mentioning this earlier when we were watching the game. He is good going forward, and he obviously got into the German team this season for a reason, and we're talking about what positions he can play, but defensively, and obviously we'll come on to it when we talk about one of the goals that we conceded, he's not great, especially in the left back. I think he works better as a left wing back, where he has more license to get forward, and he's less defensively needed at the back to be tracking back as much. He can sort of go forward, and it's not as much of a worry if he can't get back there. But he scored against Burnley, good strike then. He has got forward, and when we first signed for us and we played in the start of the season, we were sort of utilising the back three or five, whatever you want to call it. He looked good. But then when it gets to I've just seen Dave's comment in the chat box. Bastard. It was my internet. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't even hear Jason explaining that he wanted me to describe the first goal. proper throw me off there. But yeah, that is him, and it just summed up the half, because soon after that, they're back down the other end. It was proper end-to-end stuff, and they had a chance cleared off the line. Like, that's just what was going on, really, since the sending off. It was just completely weird attack. We looked like we were likely to score, and then they come straight back at us, and it happened soon after we hit the post.
Yeah, it was straight off, wasn't it? I'm sorry, guys. I do apologise to those listening on iTunes. I've got to give a couple more shout-outs. The chat box here is fantastic. KJ Myers is here. Hello, KJ. Daniel Schuldenfrei. I think that's right. Gaming Guna, I tell you what. Do you know what? It's Kev. You're right. I just absolutely love this chat box. It's fantastic. The banter in there is epic, and we're going to miss you in the summer, guys. We really are. John, Vardy offside again. I mean, they were... Were we a bit lucky with the offside decisions? Because they looked all correct from the linesman. We were playing a game of cat and mouse with him.
No, I thought the decisions were really good from the line. I thought he was the one part of the officiating team that got his job bang on. I think every single one they called was exactly spot on, even the tight one. So, yeah, it was really good. But we were... You know, we were really risking it at that point. But the thing is, you know, you're a goal down, you're down to 10 men. You know what Leicester want to do, especially if they go a goal up. They like sitting deep and hitting quick on the counter. And you have to kind of play into it at that point because, you know, what else are you going to do in the game? Sit back and just defend and like go, all right, we'll take a 1-0 loss. So, no, I thought Holding and Mustafi played the back line really well. And, you know, whichever one of the fullbacks hadn't pushed up at the time, whether it was Maitland-Niles or Kolasinac, they were very disciplined holding their line. And I thought we did it much better than I've seen in other games, especially considering we were playing against someone like Jamie Vardy, who is so very, very quick, you know, and that is a real threat. Iheanacho, I think, is quick. You know, Diabate showed some good pace as well down their left-hand side. And Mahrez, who we all know, when he wants to, you know, can cause real problems. And obviously, they had a lot of space out wide as well, because we were having to try and get Maitland-Niles and Kolasinac up to support the attack to try and get something to happen and get the goal. So, calculated risk, but I thought we actually dealt with it pretty well for most of the game. You know, we knew nothing's going to come through in the middle on the ground. They're just going to hit that long ball and hit it into the channels.
Yeah. Ellis, then we strike back with the Aubameyang goal. Some great work from Maitland-Niles down the right-hand side. And, both, you know, good save from the keeper. But Aubameyang, he's showing his worth, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it was good work from Maitland-Niles, but a decent cross, obviously, for Aubameyang to have his first shot. Keeper saved it, and Aubameyang was in the right place at the right time. He is a clinical finisher. He always just seems to be able to pop up to score goals. I don't know what his tally is at the moment, but he's obviously scored quite a lot for us. I think it was like he's created like 11 goals in 7 games or something like that, including assists and goals. I may be wrong. I'm sure someone will tell me in the chat box, but he's just a quality player. And it's still, even now, like looking at him in an Arsenal shirt, it doesn't quite sink in. I don't know if it's the fact that he came in January and we don't normally get these big name players in January, or the fact that we bought Lacazette for 50 million in the summer, so I just couldn't comprehend us buying another striker for 50 million in January. It just didn't make sense for Arsenal to go for that. And he's been a quality player. He's a proven goal scorer. He's done it for Dortmund. And I must admit, I was a bit worried when they started shifting around onto the left when they played him and Lacazette together. But in Burnley, they linked up well together. And today, he's playing without Lacazette. And he's a good player. He's got a lot of pace. He can finish. He can score. It was a well-taken goal. Maybe he should have done better with the first goal, but he's not going to care because it's bounced straight back to him for him to tap away. Like, he'll love it. And for Maitland-Niles, like John was saying, since the sending off, we did rely a lot on the whip to come and the creation from the whip to come from Maitland-Niles and Kolasinac. And I've obviously been critical of Kolasinac's defensive, but going forward is quite well. And it's the same for Maitland-Niles. For me, though, he is a midfielder, so you begrudge him less than Kolasinac for being better at going forward than tracking back. But no, I think he'd done all right. I think he had a good game, and it makes a change to have someone who can put a decent cross in. Like the first initial ball to Aubameyang was quite a good cross that he put in, so well played to him. And it's something that, whatever our transfer plans are going to be in the summer, whether it's going to be going for the new manager or for the Arsenal are going to try and go for it without the manager having input and try and get the players in. But we've only really got one out and out right back, and that is Hector Bellerin. But for me, depending on what other positions we get in, I'd be quite comfortable having Maitland-Niles been sort of a backup right back. I think most of the time when he's been called upon, he's been okay. It's hard to really criticise him too much because defensively we've been poor, especially away from home. The whole team has, not just a particular player in the back four or in the midfield. It's hard to really praise him too much. He's been okay. He's done a job. He has had sort of shockers when he's played. But again, like Mavropanos, he's young. He's going to have that. I'd probably like him a bit more in midfield. He showed his worth a bit the other day, didn't he, in a game when he was playing in midfield. But I was happy from his performance right back today. I thought he did well.
Yeah. I going backwards, he's nowhere near as strong as he is going forwards. I love his pace.
Good recovery pace, which helped him.
Yeah. I thought the same as everybody else after the red card. That's 20 minutes afterwards. He was like a bunny in the headlights at times. There were a couple of times where he's flat-footed, you know, but it was what it was, kind of thing. John, the goal, were we worth the goal at the time?
I think on the balance of play, yeah, because we'd started to push a lot more, in particular the second half. I thought we came out very well. I thought towards the end of the first half as well, we'd got over the wobble from conceding the goal and going down a man, and we hadn't exactly soaked up the pressure, you know, in that sense, but we'd weathered, you know, we'd got through it and managed not to concede. And I thought we started to turn it a little bit, and it was honestly hard to tell. If you hadn't watched the whole game, you wouldn't have known which team was down to 10 men at times. I thought up to the point where we scored the goal. So I think we were definitely good value for it. Because, you know, we had a couple of decent chances in the first half, or like creations and stuff. And the engine on Maitland Niles, I've got to say, is just, he's so impressive. I know he's young and, you know, like, oh, okay, he's going to run all day, but he really, really has got some serious recovery pace. And he was up and down. He basically played right back, right wing, the entire game, pretty much on his own. It wasn't really until late on in the second half that Mkhitaryan started to come back and help him. So he was covering that whole side, going forwards and backwards, all on his own. So, yeah, I thought we were definitely value for at least the equaliser.
Yeah, I thought Mickey didn't have his greatest game tonight, but I don't think he was bad either. I think we just lost our way at times. You had a couple of poor fouls from Simpson, then one on Aubameyang. I can't remember the other one was on. But we've kind of covered that. So you get a great chance from Mkhitaryan, Ellis. A fantastic crossfield ball from Kolasinac, unfortunately misses it. And the game is absolutely end-to-end. Did you think at this point we're going to go on and grab a winner, or did you think anything could happen?
I thought anything could happen. There was points when they come close, yeah, Nacho came close, and Iwobi, and then, like you said, Mkhitaryan had a good shot. It was literally end-to-end stuff. As cliche as that is, that's the way the game had turned out. It's a good question. For me, I can be quite pessimistic, and for our away form, I thought, oh, I was getting worried, but I don't know. I was just hoping we could try and do something, but if our away form for the rest of the team is anything to go by, then I don't know why I'd expect anything more than us not to lose this game. But for me, I wasn't too worried. The season's over. We can't finish any higher or lower in the season. We are where we are. So the least I expect is to be entertained, and it was an entertaining game. Whether you agree with me or not, if you're a neutral, it's entertaining. And for me, with nothing really on the line, it was an entertaining game, to say the least. But I always thought I had a small inkling that we'd probably end up being on the receiving end of all the counter-attacking goals. But it took a while to come. And in the end, it did, with what we're probably going to talk about in a bit.
Yeah. John, before we get to the really hard part of it, we saw a number of counter-attacks from ourselves, and we managed to balls them up. There was a great one from Ramsey flying through the middle out to Aubameyang, back to Mkhitaryan. And you know, we just messed up that final movement and what have you. You had one before with the Iwobi before he went off, and he just held on to it for a little bit too long, where, you know, he'd really done well before that point, and it was just frustrating. Was it a case of frustration, or do you think it was a case of these guys are getting tired now? You know, because as much as, yes, we've been like bunnies in the headlights at times, you know, these guys had been up and down that park all game. They put their bodies on the line.
Yeah, I think there was definitely some tired legs on there. It is towards the end of the season. You know, we had the game Sunday, and then we played. I know not everyone, obviously, that played today played Sunday, but you just, towards the end of the season anyway, it starts to build up on you. And we basically played, you know, near enough 90 minutes with 10 men. So it's going to be really difficult, especially, I thought, the fullbacks, who ended up being wingbacks essentially for the game, really covered some distance. You know, Ramsey, who ostensibly was playing as like a number 10 from the start of the game, then has to go back to doing box to box, which he can do. Obviously, he's very good at that, but he's trying to cover more ground and make more tackles. Xhaka as well was trying to, you know, help the defence, but at the same time get forwards. And I think just when you start to tire that late on in the game, your decision-making starts to go a little bit, you know, or you decide you're going to do something, but your legs don't quite match what you're thinking. And it's just one of those things. I think on another day, if we had 11 men, that game could have been like you know, 6-6. I mean, tonight it could have been 6-6, to be perfectly honest, the way it was going. You know, it was only a few decisions, you know, from individual players and some good saves and stuff that made a difference. But, yeah, I just think it's tired legs. You know, it happens in games. And it was, it's that weird point in the game where it's, well, you've got nothing to play for in a season. You know, our season is done. You're away from home. Our away form has been terrible. Yeah, the players care because you don't want to lose a football game regardless of what's going on with the manager and everything else that's around the club at the moment. But it's kind of enough. You know, it is a nothing game. So your head's kind of in a weird spot. Probably some of them are all thinking about the World Cup. Other ones are probably thinking about what's going to go on with the manager. Some of them think about the summer holidays, what they're going to do with, you know. So it's a weird time at a club. And it's, if you think back the last, I don't know however many seasons, we've always been playing for something all the way up to the end of the season. You know, whether it's a cup final and you're playing for a spot in the team or you're playing for top four or something like that, there's always something on the line. And this is the first time that I can remember in a long time where, you know, the last three games basically meant nothing, essentially. You know, Sunday was a nice day and it was a big celebration for us and everything, but there's nothing else there for it. It's very weird. I'm not used to it. And I'm sure a lot of the players aren't used to it either.
Yeah, no. I don't know what you mean. El, let's wrap up this game because I've had a gutsful of this game. I've had a gutsful of away games in 2018. was it Damari Gray, was it?
Yeah, he came on for Debate, I think. And then shortly after, he's the geezer that gets...
Penalty for you?
For me, yeah. Initially, when I watched it, I thought it may have been a dive. Like, Damari Gray looked up and he looked very guilty. But when I watched it back, there is contact there. He wasn't in control of the ball, and I think he was already going down anyway. But Mkhitaryan has made contact with there, and by letter of the law, if you make contact in the box, and there's a penalty. So for me, it's a penalty.
Yeah, I thought it was soft, but, you know, and after the Maguire and Simpson incidents, where if you're not going to give a foul for that, how is that a penalty, fella? But there you go. It is what it is. A hell of a finish by Vardy on the penalty, yeah?
Yeah, top roof of the net. It's like, Cech's not going to get it. I know he's not got a great penalty record, but Van Vardy is good at penalties, puts away with ease, and he's never going to get to that. It is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Bah, humbug. John, the Mahrez goal. Talk me through it. Put me out of my misery.
It's a case of very good counter-attack, and it's what Leicester of old under Ranieri used to do. I'll be honest, I thought he was going to square it to Vardy, but he sits down, check. I think Rob Holding's still running off the pitch somewhere. He hasn't turned round yet. And then, you know, cuts back inside and it's a good finish. And in fairness to Cech, he does get a hand to it and, you know, he does get something on it, but it's just very good play. And it's a wonderful ball from, Choudhury. He's got the haircut I used to have when I was 18 years old, as Ellis found out earlier.
I did. That is amazing. I think everyone needs to see that.
That's the second time I've seen that picture. Please don't make it a third.
it's a wonderful ball, and it's if we were 11 men and, you know, it's level or we're just a goal behind, then you'd say, oh, it's poor positionally because the fullbacks are high up the pitch and everything else. But it's 2-1, it's late on in the game, you're trying to push to get a goal, you know, we lose the ball in a bad position. We don't even lose it in a bad position, really. They just recycle it very quickly and do what they do very well, and it's, you know, and it's a really good goal for Mahrez. That's the sort of Mahrez that, when he was linked with Arsenal, that people wanted. Whether he does that consistently enough, I've got no idea because I don't really watch Leicester that often. But it was a very good goal, good run, and, you know, good cut inside. I hope Bob Holding has stopped running in the wrong direction, though, because that was a little bit...
to be fair to Mahrez, you know, when he's on his day, he's a quality player. And he'll do that to better defenders, you know. It happens.
No bad words for Holding tonight. I thought he did okay.
Right. Okay. One shout out to the Leicester fans. To be fair, at the end of the game, the away end was, we're giving it one Arsene Wenger, and you've got to take your hat off to Leicester fans. There was banter during the game. They all stood up, you know, joined in and, you know, give Arsene the, you know, Arsene give us a wave, etc. And, you know, fair play. You know, I think it says a lot about Arsene Wenger. I don't see many other managers getting that from away fans. Yeah, hats off to them. They're not my favourite club. They're really not. But they were top quality tonight. So, you know, so well done them. Tip of the hat to them, because that was a moment of class from them. So well done, Leicester. Okay, guys, right. Danny's just put in the chat box. Danny's gone nuts for Twitch. Okay. In the chat box, you will see a link for our Twitch page. What Danny does on Twitch this week, he basically showed everyone the setup, how he sets up the podcast, what he does to prepare for it, how he goes about setting everything up, the two computer setup, who's going to, you know, the recording, etc. And he'll talk you all through it. So, you know, the guys will be playing FIFA or whatever they play. I have no idea. My God, I have no
Danny's idea. Going to play Fortnite, and I might join him at some point and all this.
Okay, now
anyone listening on iTunes, it's twitch.tv/a_burkamp_wonderland. So, yeah, on a Tuesday night when we regularly record the pod, you'll get to see Danny about an hour before we go to record live, and he's going to start. I don't know what the schedule will be, but he's going to start streaming a bit more regularly, some games and stuff. And I think Ellis and a few of the other guys might do some pro clubs on there or whatever. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you get to play him on FIFA or whatever else. But yeah, go give him a look if it's your sort of thing.
Definitely play him on FIFA. He's not very good.
if you could sort of back Danny up on that, guys, we'd really appreciate it. It's his little project at the moment. And to be fair, you know, when you look at the content we put out every week, okay, we haven't missed a game this season. You've had a radio show after every game. You've had a podcast nearly every single week, other than sort of, I think it's one international break we've missed. If you could support him, we'd really appreciate that. That would be absolutely fantastic. Dan, honestly, you know, me and Danny talk a lot about organizing stuff for what we're going to do and how we give you sort of the best that we can. You know, I don't think we're the best content out there. Don't get me wrong. I think we provide good content, but, you know, we do our best. We're kind of looking at the moment at World Cup podcasts. Okay. So if you want them, let us know. Loki73 has a question from him a little later. I'm not sure how we're going to manage it, but we're really looking to do some content throughout the summer. On the day the new manager's announced, there will be a live podcast that night. Okay? There will be a live podcast. If anything major happens, we will be putting content out. It will be live. We'll try to get as many of the guys on as possible to give you as much as we can. And hopefully, you know, we'll look at, you know, if you want us to do something, we will do our best. We will do our best for you. And we can't promise you the world, but, you know, we'll have a go, okay? So we're going to go to questions now. Unique 79, I twitch when I sleep. Kev turns on, I can't twitch, I'm epileptic. Oh, for pity's sake. Do you see what I've got to put up with, yeah?
Honestly, bucks.
do you see what I've got to put up with? Right, okay. So, John, do me a favour. Can you put a tweet out on the podcast account and I'll start going through these questions?
Yep.
Cheers, pal. Okay, Ellis, you're first. Marble Halls TV asks, are we shit away from home since we found out a lot of... How's he worded this?
Are we shit away from home since we've been found out?
Yeah, I'm misreading it. I do apologise. A lot of fans asking why, when it's clear that teams are more confident at home and they know exactly how to play against us. What do you put this away form down to, mate?
I think it's a mixture of what Marble Halls is alluded to. We have been found out in recent seasons. I think that is symptomatic of not changing your manager and a very stubborn manager in the way he manages his team and the way he likes to play. But I also think after a while, it sort of becomes this sort of monkey on the back that you can't get off. And that must obviously play into the players' minds. They know just as much as we know that their form away has been awful this season. And I think that's the pressure starts to mount up. And it gets to a point that, like Marble Hall says, people know how to play against Arsenal. They know if they play a certain way, if they're tight at the back, if they press our midfield, they'll get chances. And if they're tight at the back and they put a lot of men in front of the balls, we'll try and pass around them. We'll do the sort of horseshoe movement. We might not break in. We're not great at crossing the ball into the box since the sale of Olivier Giroud. We haven't really got a target man to try it. And that is what happens. But then it's also going to affect the players that they know they haven't lost for in a while. I think even regardless of the red cards that happened today, you saw the game change and you saw the players react. And to me, sometimes it felt at times we're trying too hard to try and get the goal, especially once we got it, we still kept bombing forward. The right back and the left back still trying to bomb forward. I think other managers, other teams, maybe if they got that first goal, they'd then just try to shut up shop, or even with the man down, like we saw with Atletico Madrid against us, just literally leave it at that. I know it's a different game because it's a first leg of a semi-final and this is just a league game where there's nothing really to play for, and that could play a lot. But we've seen other managers just shut up shop, 1-0 down, we're not going to concede anymore. That's never been the case with Arsenal or with Arsene Wenger, who's a man who likes to entertain fans and likes to play a attacking, attractive football. It's maybe not been the case this season, and our waveform's just been poor. And to answer the question, I completely carved the shit out of it.
You bored me earlier on. I think one of the reasons the season's been as well. Initially, we had poor form from Sanchez, who we'd really relied on for the past two seasons to be that creative spark. When he went off the boil, we had to find a new way of playing, and that took a while away from home. Whereas we could compensate at home, we got into this kind of negative spiral. To quote, who was the guy?
It was Tottenham manager, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah. Was it Poch? As well. No, it wasn't Poch. Right. John, he's in Russia now. Portuguese lad.
Boas. Andre Villas-Boas.
But I think you get in that negative spiral. And of course, when, you know, it plays with human beings, you start to put pressure on yourself, and that pressure builds, and all of a sudden it can become debilitating. And okay, we've beaten Burnley, Everton, and Palace away, but you know, Everton were awful. Burnley was hard fought, and Palace was purely down to Alexis Sanchez turning it on over Christmas. So, you know,
Rugby League plays a factor into it. Obviously, once we start to concentrate on that competition we just stop playing like the regulars, and that's going to add on to it and pile the pressure on even more.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's happened. Thank God the season's nearly over. Thank God. I genuinely, you know, it's been horrendous. Right, no more questions in this box, guys. There's a load to go through, and I got to go to bed. I'm getting old. It's bloody terrible. John Mattel Roberts asks, when is the right time to announce the manager?
The day after the Burnley game. Huddersfield. So Monday, that'd be fine.
If we had a manager lined up, I think.
Yeah, if we have one in place by then, which I don't think we do. I think there's still talks ongoing with other managers, other people got no idea who they are. There's loads obviously in the papers and stuff. I'm sure there's probably a question later on about who we think the manager is going to be.
Probably.
The sooner the better. But basically, I just get Sunday out of the way and then announce. But I don't think there will be an announcement yet because I don't think we have one in place yet.
We'll come to that a bit later because we're going to go into that in a little bit. Loki73 asks, are you not going to do a 3-game England World Cup special? Come on, chaps. Right, Loki. The problem we got is... I'm Welsh.
Second problem we've got is Italy aren't at the World Cup, so it doesn't count. It's not a real World Cup. thirdly, I don't care about England. No.
thirdly, our listener base is from all over.
Oh, yeah.
It's from all
I
over.
Had an idea, actually, Jace, which I'll put out now when the chat box can sort of respond to, and maybe we'll do it. But Danny's already said privately that maybe we do some World Cup things.
Yeah, we are gonna we definitely are gonna do some World Cup podcasts.
Yeah, so we'll do some. But I had an idea. We could do a little bit of a sweepstake, like old school, bit of paper in a bowl, and pull a team out for each person from the podcast. Because all I want to do is fix it so that Chris gets England and not France, and he's got a cheer on Harry Kane. Could you imagine? Like, I don't care who I get out. If it comes out and I've got, I don't know, Egypt, and I've got a cheer on bloody Theo Walcott, Egyptian Mo Salah, or something like that, and I really embarrass myself about how many goals he's got to get. Whatever. But after, we'd do that. We'd chat to Danny about it. Maybe we'd do like on his Twitch thing. We could do live putting him out the hat or something.
That's a great idea. I like
that. I like that.
Yeah.
But I can't get England. I'm sorry, England fans. I do apologise.
That seems fine.
I'm Welsh. Come on, you're big brother. I can't be doing that. I just can't.
Okay. And then I don't know, maybe we could get the listeners to, they could back, I don't know, instead of backing a team, they can back their favourite ABW member and then have to cheer on whatever team they get from the World Cup.
I'm screwed then. I'll
be fucked then. Everyone should be saying hashtag fuck whatever team I drew.
Reggie Nellis gets Germany or France or someone or Spain.
Hashtag fuck Germany.
At least they like you. Okay. You know, I'm stuffed. I love this. Do you know what, listeners? I've loved doing this this season. It has been brilliant, and you lot are top quality. This is so much fun. So much fun. Okay, who am I going to next?
Ellis, I think. Yeah.
L.
Yes.
Actually, all of us can answer this one. Kman1867 asks, which Arsenal player have you enjoyed watching most in 2018? Ellis, you first.
From 2018 onwards, I think it's got to be Aubameyang for me.
John?
Oh, it's really difficult, actually, because we had some good games and we've had some really bad ones. Oh, fucking hell.
Don't carp into the shit.
Mustafi?
No, please. I've enjoyed laughing at him. I'll tell you who I've enjoyed the most this season, this year, has been Callum Chambers.
It's been superb watching him come through, isn't it?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed watching him since he's come into the team. I know it's a late on pick, but yeah, that would probably be mine because it would have been Maitland-Niles, but he basically hasn't played in 2018 really up until now. So if it was the whole season, probably Maitland-Niles, but for 2018, Chambers I really liked.
I gotta be honest here, I'm gonna choose two here. Well, obviously he's one of them. Come on. If I answered anybody else, they'd be uproar.
That goal with a flick on the outside of the
ball. I mean, the goal against CSK was a joy. But actually, the guy who I've really wanted to do well because I've given him such a hard time on the pod and he scored on Sunday.
That's a way.
Yeah, because when he played well, no. Okay, he's had a roller coaster this year.
You bet your head is frozen over.
Yeah.
What did Josh say to you on Sunday? What has he done to you?
No.
Has he got you naked?
No, it's not like this. It's a case of I've loved watching Chambers come through and sort of grow into a really good central defender and become the player we knew he could be. But with Iwobi, when you see him in full flight, when you see him play well, it's so enjoyable to watch him play. I think, you know, if I'm the next manager, the first thing I do when I get hold of Alex Iwobi, I throw him in to see a sports psychologist because I think there's something holding him back. Because when he's playing well, he's very good. Okay. Unfortunately, we've had this roller coaster with him where there's been a lot of bad in there. I think tonight's performance from him kind of sums it up. Some really, really good moments and a couple of, what are you doing, fella? You know, but I really want, you know, I want them all to do well. I want them all to do well. But of course, my favourite's Aaron Ramsey. It's going to be, you know.
All that, and then he picked Aaron Ramsey.
No. But, little, you know, I think...
little shout for El Neni as well, who I think's done very well in 2018. Done very, very well.
I hope he gets the World Cup. You know, I really do. John, this one's for you. Buster Cherry, who got a timeout earlier on and came back with aplomb, to be fair to him. Hats off, Buster. Well played. Koulibaly from Napoli. What do you think? Do you want him?
Yeah, I'll take him all day long. No question.
Okay, my one caveat to that then, to challenge you on it, is the Italian league, very different to the Premier League. Would he adjust?
Yeah, I don't think he'd have an issue at all. As long as the manager that comes in is of the requisite quality to help him adjust. But yeah, the way Napoli play is very similar to us. He's very good on the ball. He's played a lot in Europe. He's got good experience. Juventus are in for him as well. They'd like to take him. They'd quite happily get him. Some other big teams. Archie saying we aren't signing 60 million defender. Well, I don't think he'd really cost 60 million. Napoli might try to squeeze it out of a Premier League club, but if he ended up at Juventus, he wouldn't cost that much because, you know, the difference in money between the two leagues is ridiculous in what you actually have to pay and how much they're worth and stuff like that. So I think he's gettable, whether we would or not, I don't know. The problem is if Sarri does leave Napoli and ends up at Chelsea, then Koulibaly is likely to end up there with him, which would be annoying. But yeah, I'd take him all day.
Okay. Ellis. Oh no, before that, Rudy Ruslos put in a statement from Arsene Wenger after the match. I will miss many things, but not English officials.
Love it.
Arsene Wenger still owns this, still owns English football. He still owns it. I'm sorry. You know, it's the right time for him to go. By God, it is. But my God, when he says things like that, I just love the man. El, Unique79 asks, what to do with Joel Campbell and Lucas Perez? Decisions. What would you do?
For me, there is no decision. Sell them both. as simple as that, really. Not really made in bones. Joel Campbell's obviously been around Arsenal for a long time and never really made a mark. He obviously had a season where he did play, and Lucas Perez is getting on a bit now. So for me, if we can get money for him, sell him. If I don't know what contracts they're on, how many years they've got left, either sell him or just bring him back on loan or let him go on a free, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. John, Michael Donahue asks, what do you guys think of the leaked Puma kits? He thinks Puma have been very hit and miss. Go on, spill the beans. What do you think?
I think they're fucking horrible. To be perfectly honest, I think they're disgusting. I don't know what that thing is on the arm of the sleeve. Some people are saying that's just the little marker for where the sleeve sponsor is going to go.
It's a mall. It's all in. If you saw Man City play tonight, they've got one on and down the arms. That type of thing. It's horrible.
I hate it. I do not like it at all. I know there's a couple in the group that quite like it. I saw one that's got this weird like mishmash like burgundy and red and blue shorts. Just go away. Just give me all I want is a red and white kit. Don't fuck about with the sleeves. Just red and white kit. That's your home kit. Done. Very easy. Give me a all yellow with a trim, blue trim kit. That's your away kit. Whatever you want to do with a fur kit, couldn't give a toss. Do it. Fine. Don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Yellow kit. I hate it.
I remember the bruised banana kit coming out and that being hated. Yeah. And now it's loved. It's one of those.
At least it's yellow, though.
Yeah, that's yellow.
Listeners, this is why we are not down with the kids. We're just not down with the kids.
And this, I'll tell you what, the other thing as well, I've heard some people say, Steve has said this and a few other people on Twitter about the whole thing of they don't like doing yellow because it doesn't go well with a pair of jeans and whatever. First of all, if you want to wear a football kit with a football shirt with a pair of jeans, fair enough, that's up to you. I mean, I don't because I don't think football shirts look very nice. But why would you want to wear a blue top with a blue pair of jeans? You might as well be wearing double denim. I'm not in Canada. Oh!
That'll be our next third kit next season. Denim. Denim
finish. I'm not having it. Sorry.
Can you imagine a double denim kit?
Oh, yeah. You've seen the Canadian dinner jacket, haven't you? It is, isn't it? It's denim jacket.
Jeff is not going to be happy.
I'm half Canadian. It's fine. I'm allowed. Oh, Kelly's having a go now.
I'm half Canadian. Kelly, go for it, pal. Go for it. Ellis, formerly Noza, asks, who would be your next captain?
It's such a hard decision to make because I don't think anyone is massively a standout candidate. I think if Aaron Ramsey signs you like this, I think he's a good candidate. I could see it just getting handed to Cech because he's the most senior player on the team. But for me, I'd rather the captain be an outfield player. So I'd give it to Ramsey.
Really?
Really?
Correct answer. You can come back. I'm only joking. Jesus wept, I'm losing the will to live. John, Unique79 asks, if you could relive a successful season in the past or any season of your choice, which one would it be and why? And we're all going to answer this.
Oh, dear. It's probably the 98 season, the first double, because it was that team for me was like the perfect mix of aggression and the sort of often down looked upon English dogged mentality, and it had all the flair and the class in it, and like the Tony Adams goal in the Everton game. And I was, what was that, 98, so I was 14. So it was like a really good time. It's when you're very young, you're very into football. I watched that game, it was my dad and like a couple of my mates and everything. And it was just amazing. Just unbelievable season. No one expected it. This new guys come in, new manager. You know, Ian Wright, just magic, absolutely magic. I will never, never, never forget that season. So good.
Okay, Ellis.
For me, it has to be the Invincible season. That's literally the last time I remember looking at an Arsene Wenger squad and thinking, oh my God, this has got like the perfect balance. There isn't a player in the position that I don't think is quite cutting it. For me, I just like to relive that just because it's such a momentous thing. I don't think I've ever done in the Premier League. And since all the media loving of Man City and them going, oh, Man City, you could do it, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to just relive that again and just enjoy it.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I loved the 98 season. I just thought, oh my God, it was 97, 98 was fantastic. And it was a real turning point for the club in the way we played football, the way we looked at things. But that Invincible season, I'd like to go back. I'd love podcasts throughout that season. Oh, what a joy it would be. Do you know what I mean? How can you imagine podcasting after those games and after the football we played?
I'd have a lot of company in the FA Cup, though.
Yeah, hold up, yeah. And I'd also tell Arsene, watch those fuckers from Chelsea.
Chuck the FA Cup game, Arsene. We don't need it. Win the Champions League.
That would be the one, wouldn't it? That would be the one. Because that's, for me, for all that's been said and done, the biggest disappointment is that team didn't win the Champions League.
Yeah,
that's the biggest disappointment. Everything else, I can see reasoning behind it. I can see, the inevitable decline that comes with age and other people catching you up and so forth, and the money that's come into the game, But that season is the one which I enjoyed the most and was the most disappointing in a way. Fly KJ asks, will there be a podcast next week? Yes, there will. We'll release kind of more information about what's going to happen during the summer. Look out for the Twitter page. We're going to try to put more Facebook content out there to sort of communicate a bit better because we're a bit lax in that. But yes, there is a podcast next week. John.
Jason, just very quickly. If you are watching live and you hit the subscribe button and you hit the little bell icon next to it, then whenever we go live on YouTube, you'll get a notification. And if you're listening to this later, if you do that, then if you miss the Twitter or you miss the tweet about it or, you know, for whatever reason, then you'll just get notified on your phone. You'll be like, oh, AEW's on. Cool. And you won't miss anything throughout the summer. Good way to do it.
Oh, fucking hell. You idiots.
Jace, all I'm doing is asking them to give a little tickle on your bell and then they've got it. It's fine. Come on.
I'm losing the will to live. I really am. To all those listening on iTunes, I apologise. We've been a bit crap tonight, but there you go. That's the way it goes. You know, we're the Arsenal of podcasts as well, aren't we? John, Ariane asks, I think it's Ariane H, actually. In your opinion, the pros and cons of Allegri, and do you think you'll genuinely come?
Yeah, that's Arian, who I speak to all the time on Twitter, top bloke. Do I think he'll genuinely come? I've got no idea whether he's going to sign or not. I don't think anyone knows. It's very possible he's using Arsenal to negotiate to get a better deal or to force Juventus into a position to sign a better midfielder in the calibre of the one he wants. Let's say for argument he does come. The good things he will do, you will still get possession football. That's what he brought into Juventus that Conte didn't have previously. He will certainly get more out of players. He is more tactically flexible than Arsenal will be. That's another good thing. There are some negatives in the fact that he does make some odd decisions with regards to personnel starting games. He likes to use a lot of the same players. He doesn't rotate as much perhaps as I like, and I've seen a few times this season people like Cuadrado playing at right back and things like that, and he made some weird decisions in the Champions League games as well. In the end, in those games it did work out for him and they got through, but like in the Tottenham game he was playing a very high line against Spurs, which is not a good idea. He's closing, making the pitch very small so it's easier for them to press and get behind, things like that. And he kind of got everything wrong against Spurs over almost the whole of the two legs, right, except for the last 20 minutes, and then they went on to win it. So in the end, it looked fine and they got through, but he still made some weird decisions. But it'll be a learning process. But I've got no idea whether he's going to come or not, honestly. I really don't know who the club are going to go for. Okay. He definitely does want to manage abroad and he wants to manage in the Premier League. I think every manager does. It's big money, regardless of whether you're Champions League or not. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Loki 73 says we'll end up with Allegro. which is the car. The Walrus and the Hedgehog is in the box, and so is Luca Quarta. Right, guys, we're on 94 likes. Come on.
We've got four thumbs down. We only need two. Two thumbs in either direction. Down. We get 100.
I don't care with the thumbs down. No. I want 100 thumbs up, for crying out loud. You know, what do you people think? This is a free ride? I expect a thumb up. Please, come on.
100 thumbs down. That'd be quite spectacular, wouldn't it?
Bro, you behave. why do I get a pop-up? Why do I get a bloody pop-up? Here we go. Archie asks, do you believe this is Gazidis' moment in deciding a new... Do you believe that this is Gazidis deciding a new manager? If stories about Arteta are true, do you believe the fans will be united or the opposite? And I'm going to ask us all about this now. We're all going to go around the swing.
So is he basically insinuating if we sign Arteta, do you think it's going to divide or unite the fans?
Yeah. Also, do you think this is Gazidis' moment? You know.
Yeah, I think a lot of the hatred has been taken on the broad shoulders of Arsene Wenger. With whoever comes in, whether it is Arteta, that they're going to start to see that a lot of the stuff that maybe Arsene Wenger may have been shouldering the blame for is going to come for Gazidis and obviously the further management up in the club. So yeah, it is going to be his moment. This will show if he's got the balls or if he's got the stones or whether he hasn't. We'll see what happens depending on what manager he and Grokinay's pick. And as for Arteta coming on, from what I've seen on social media and Twitter and everything, I think it will divide the fan base. A lot of people are sort of of the opinion that he's not experienced enough to come in and take a job at Arsenal, I think I'd lean into that camp. I'd say, regardless of him playing one of the many second fiddles to Pep Guardiola, regardless of what you think of the man, he's a good manager and he's come and played, made this Man City side play really well. And he's obviously learned from them. He's had a long footballing background from PSG, Barcelona, us, and playing with Pep at Man City, or helping manage with Pep at Man City. But I think it, I don't think it will unite the fans, regardless of whether you think he's going to do well or not. I think to unite the fans, we'll need a big name, someone like Allegri or Jardim. Other than that, or someone who's done well, I think if you go for an ex-player, the only way to sort of unite them would be to put it with a more experienced manager, sort of as a number two. Arteta as a number two, I think, would please a lot of people.
Okay, John.
Yeah, I do think it's Gazidis' moment. I think whoever gets appointed, if it goes well, Gazidis will be taking all the praise. If it goes horribly wrong, he will disappear. You won't see anything of him, and he'll probably try and stick Sanyehi and Sven Mislintat in the spotlight and try and put more of the blame on them, as if they made the decision in the end and they're the ones who recommended whoever the manager is to the Kroenkes and Josh Kroenke, who I expect will not have the final say, but it'll probably be between him and his dad. If it's Arteta, yeah, I don't think it's going to unite the fan base, because I think there will be some fans who really don't want him as manager, don't think he's good enough yet or in a position to manage Arsenal. I don't know. I agree with Ellis, though. Unless the only way you're going to unite this fan base is if you got an Allegri or Jardim. I think that's it. I think even if you went with Ancelotti, there's going to be fans who won't want him. I know I don't want him. Even though he's, you know, a safe pair of hands kind of thing. But I think those two are the obvious names that all the fans would get behind. There's plenty of others that, you know, whether it be Arteta, Vieira, I think even someone like Nagelsmann, who I think is a very good manager, but I think there will be people who will poo-poo it because of his age and say, oh, he's not got enough experience. So, yeah, if they go with Arteta, it's a brave decision. Might be the right one. I don't know. You just have to wait and see. Honestly, at the moment, I'm just excited, whoever it is. I'm buzzing for next season. I can't wait.
I've got a slightly different take on this. From one of our ABW members, who I love dearly, he told me on Sunday that this is going to be Josh Kroenke's decision. I think Gazidis...
Yeah, isn't he set to take the chairman's spot or something?
Apparently so, yeah. I think Gazidis, you know, when you look at the tough times last season where Gazidis was nowhere to be seen, you know, leader my ass. I'm no fan of Ivan Gazidis whatsoever. I don't think he's... I think he's trying to position himself to show himself as the leader of this organisation. I don't think he's ever going to have the power that he wants. But I agree with you, you know, if the decision's right, he'll try to take the credit. If it's wrong, you know, he will hide. I believe the fan base is going to be divided no matter who you appoint. Okay? I the only thing that's going to unite us now is going to be success. It's going to be a Premier League trophy. That's it. I think, you know, you've got that disparity in the age groups, in experience, in sort of, you know, in what people want to watch. You know, we see a lot of Arsenal fans now who watch a lot of continental football or football around the world. And so you have so many different perspectives. I think it's endemic in society, not just football. And the only thing that's going to, you know, bring us together is a Premier League title and or the Champions League. So whoever comes in, you know, if they appoint Arteta, that's a massive gamble. I don't see that happening. I don't think they're going to want to take a really big gamble on the next manager, simply because the bulletproof vest that they've been wearing in Arsene Wenger will have gone.
Yeah,
there's no more excuses. All of a sudden, you know, the warts and all of this club will be laid bare for everyone to see. And, you know, and for me, you know, Gazidis, Kroenke, right, you wanted this. Now you have to deliver. No more excuses from you guys. No more crap about war chests. I don't want to hear it. Deliver. Right, we're going to...
Fire through the couple of questions, just do them quick. No.
Yeah. Carpenters. Okay. I'm actually okay. Unique 79 asks, and John, this has got to be for you. Sorry, El. You have the next one.
Anyway.
Which of these 1980s shows your favourite? A Team, Airwolf, Chips, Knight Rider, or Street Hawk?
It's Airwolf, mate. It's got
to
be.
Thank fuck you went to John, because I don't know any of them.
Stringfellow Hawk. What other TV show has a pilot called Stringfellow Hawk? He's an amazing helicopter pilot, lives in a weird mountain somewhere, and he can play the violin. Yeah, unbelievable. But I did enjoy all of them. But yeah,
you guys are pity you, fool. I pity you.
Danny's a huge fan of Street Hawk.
Okay, so you said we're going to fly through these. John, will we be will we be spending Walmart vouchers and Harrods in the summer, or will we go for it?
I don't think we'll go for it. I think we spent quite a bit, obviously, in the January. I think we'll be active. We'll definitely be active, but I don't think we're going to smash our transfer record or anything like that.
Okay, John, who do we need to sign, Daz? Daz316 asks that.
Oh, Jesus. We need a goalkeeper, we need a centre-back, and we need a central midfielder. If we can stretch to it on the budget, some sort of wide attacking player. Just picking names out of the top of my head. Alisson in goal from Roma, Koulibaly for centre-back, Jorginho from Napoli. Okay, that's three Serie A players. Can I get another one in? Luis Alberto from Lazio. There you go. All four from Serie A.
Can we have Verratti?
Can we have Verratti? Yeah. I mean, if we want another midfielder who likes getting sent off a lot, then yeah, sure.
Happy days. Let's go.
At least we'll have one when we get sent off.
I'm gonna answer this one. Andre Rajalescu asks, James from Gunner Blog wondered if Jack extending has any impact on Aaron's contract. He said that the club could not afford losing both this summer. I know John is adamant their contracts are not related, but do you think we might lose Aaron? Well, I heard a rumour on Sunday that Mustafi, Welbeck, Hector and Aaron Ramsey have all been told that we are going to listen to offers for them this summer. If you think, you know, Jack and Aaron are very different players, I know, they're very, very different players. They shouldn't have, on the football pitch, they have no relation to each other. I know, there's absolutely no connection between them. As a PR thing, there may be in the club's eyes, they may think, oh, you know, we can't lose both of them in the summer, you know. But you'd be losing Jack for nothing. Meanwhile, you could get a return on Aaron Ramsey and a decent return.
I think from the club's point of view, Ramsey's the easier one to sell.
He's the only one you can sell.
Well, yeah, he's the only one you can sell, but you're going to make more money on Ramsey than you would Jack Wilshere if they were in the same contract.
I mean, no, but Jack Wilshere's contract is up.
Yeah.
You don't get any money for him, so you get a return on Aaron. The difference is, one gives you a return on the pitch, the other one doesn't really, unfortunately.
Aaron in his last
contract.
When he goes into the summer, it's his last year.
So that obviously affects it as well.
How that's going to play out, I don't know. But if you're selling Aaron Ramsey and re-signing Jack Wilshere, I think that would speak to the club's ambition. And that's the truth of the matter. It's not me being biased, but, you know, you look at when we play well, certain players shine. And you look at what instigates us playing well. You know, if the club do that, we're going to be a fucking joke. That's the truth of the matter. And the last question for the night. Who wants this one?
I'll have it.
Fly KJ asks, do you think Santi Cazorla will ever play for the Arsenal again?
No.
Correct. Correct.
And just quickly to all the people in the chat box, all the names you're throwing out, like Max Meyer, very good player. Yeah, I'd take him. Cedric as well for Southampton, very good player. Would I take Lucas Torreira?
Say it again, Keeb. He might actually read it out.
I don't know. No, I'm not sure, Akeeb. But yeah, no, I just like Serie A players. That's what I'm like. But no, if it's for Santi, I don't think he will. No, I think he'll go back to Spain. I hope he has a career, but no, not for Arsenal. Sorry.
I got to be honest, okay? I I'd love to see him play somewhere next season, you know, for himself rather than anything else, you know. But, you know, after what he's been through, if anybody thinks he's going to compete in the Premier League again, it's a massive ask. That's it. That's it. Thank you ever so much to everybody in chat box. You've been superb. We're over 100 likes. I'm over the moon. Thank you. You've been superb. To those listening on iTunes, thank you as ever for your support. You're magnificent. The final after match rager show will be after the game on Sunday. We can get as many of the guys on as possible. It'll kind of be a rolling thing. All depends who turns up, because some of them are like Ellis, are a bit lax, you know. And Ellis not very reliable. Sorry, El. I try. That's all that matters, isn't it?
I try. I'm more committed than the Arsenal players. Just not very good. Oh,
I'm going to leave that there. Danny, if you guys could have a look, if you're on Twitch or you've got Amazon Prime or something, follow us on Twitch. Danny's going to tweet the details and he'll put it on Facebook as well. Formerly Noza, you are correct. Carpenter out. Michael Donahue, you're right. Enix79, you're right. Ellis out. Thank you as ever for your support. You know, you've been magnificent this season. Can't tell you how much we appreciate all your support, all you guys taking part in it, being in that chat box. It's been superb. To Ellis, thanks, mate. You were on time.
Well played. It wouldn't be a radio show without me fucking up, would it? Let's be honest.
I love the East Anglian internet bit.
Look at Danny's going for it, the chat box, Christ.
I know, he's having a go on it. He's spamming my chat box. I'm going to ban Danny. John, as ever, mate, thank you very much.
Cheers, Jace. Top hosting as always.
I don't know about that. I think I've got a bag of shit tonight, but there you go. Nothing new there. That's it. You know, we will be back. Podcast next week. Radio show Sunday. I'm talking to the guys about doing end of season radio show as well, for those of you who want it, where we all just give our view on what's happened this season. Obviously, it's been a historic season for the Arsenal with the manager leaving, for a guy who's been there 22 years, like him or loathe him. There are exciting times ahead. There are new times ahead. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But yeah, that's it. Thank you. Good night. Keep it Arsenal.